Thank you, Kevin and Laura, very much. Great song to honor the Lord tonight. And we're thankful for Bruce leading the music and Sarah playing. Thank you. We appreciate those folks very much. And Bob reading the scripture. And you being here tonight, Merry Christmas to you and happy birthday to the Lord. And we're thankful about Him and what He means to each one of us. And the Bible tells us that the Lord brought us good news of great joy that would be for all the people. So I want you to think about all the people. That's you and all the people around you and everybody you meet and everybody the Lord has created. God is on a mission for each of them. And every year around Christmas time and New Year's, a lot of media outlets come up with a list of people, thinking of a lot of people, that are influential in the year of 2010 or maybe even the first 10 years of this century. And depending on what list you look at, you might find some people that are favorites of yours or you're familiar with or you've never heard of. But this is a combination of lists from Time Magazine and ABC News. Very influential people listed. And we'll talk about who was listed when Jesus was born. Well, President George W. Bush was listed as somebody who influenced many. President Barack Obama. General David Petraeus, man with a lot of responsibilities. He leads folks who are in battle. Steve Jobs, if anybody knows who that is, CEO of Apple Computer, and they came out with the iPad. So supposedly that changed a lot of lives. I don't know if anybody's getting that for Christmas or not. But here's a name I never knew before today. Mark Zuckerberg. How many? Mark Zuckerberg, he is Mr. Facebook founder guy. Okay, so we salute him. Many disciples of his in the room, apparently. And other people who made the list, Sarah Palin, Betty White, surprise. Franklin Graham, thank the Lord for good news. Justin Bieber, maybe because of Tom Brady haircut or something like that. And I put down Jesus. The one who influences people the most. And if you look at mission people who share Christ with others around the world, they'll tell you that in any one given year, especially recently, more than 50 million people turn to Christ for the first time. That's very incredible that the Lord is reaching people like that. Keep in mind that the world is so much bigger a place than 50 million. You know, in your own relationship with God, maybe you'll be one of the 50 million in 2010. Some people are here who were. First time I saw, you know, I turned to Christ for the first time. Trust Him, follow Him, not go my own way. And so that's what Jesus came to do, seek and save those who were not with God and being far from Him. Well, the Bible mentions a list of people also in and around the birth of Jesus. When I mentioned them, I put them into two groups. The first group is some are found in Jesus' family tree. Some are found in the birth of Jesus. I'll call those folks who were seeking political and religious power. Okay, and that's a very popular thing to go after. But this is who they were. I mentioned four, Caesar Augustus, Herod, in Jesus' family tree, Rehoboam, haven't thought of him much lately. And Manasseh, two very bad dudes, you might say. But they were in Jesus' family tree. Caesar Augustus, his motto was, I'm the man. Augustus meant revered one. And he was one of the early Roman emperors who said, hey, worship me. Worship me, I'm that important. And God came so that even his life might be turned around. Herod's motto was, let me be in charge of everything and everything will be okay. And he had such a quest for that goal that he was willing to kill many people to get that done. Okay, just the fallenness of the human heart seen in Augustus and Herod. Rehoboam, a king in Israel in Jesus' family photo album there. Haunted by the memory of Solomon, his dad. didn't quite know what to do with the way his dad was, so he wanted to be a lot different. And he was a lot different. He was very violent and treacherous and ended up splitting the kingdom. And so there, put him next to Jesus. There's some connection. And then Manasseh, probably one of the worst kings in the history of the world. Very violent person. And his motto was, God is not number one in my life. And we don't want to be in those shoes. Although perhaps at times in our life, you and I would say, I'm almost like that, that God is not number one in my life. God would show that to us. And Christ would come and stand beside us. Well, that's the first group. We'll call the first group the self-righteous group. Their creed is, I am good enough. I only need a little bit of God. And I heard someone say, if God is here, the first group would say, well, we're about here. You know, we realize we're not as good as God. We have a little bit of ungodliness. We have a little bit of problems. But this is where we are. They seldom realize that where that group is really off the chart in terms of ungodliness. You know, couldn't even be measured. If God was here, where would the self-righteous be? Not with not any goodness. And that's something God would tap on our soul and say, deal with that in your own heart. Deal with that in your life. Christ would come to save us from our sins, the things that would weigh us down so we're not in that first group. And to meet the Lord, who's Almighty God and wonderful Counselor. I would imagine even Herod and Caesar Augustus would be taken back by Jesus. And you could be too if you look at him. You know, say, my soul needs him. Well, the second group of people would not be self-righteous. They would be called the spiritually bankrupt. Here's the list of those listed. First of all, to describe them, they had nothing going for themselves before a holy God. Okay, think about that. Nothing going for themselves before a holy God. If they were to stand before God, they would say, Lord, I have nothing to bring you except my own sin and sadness and shame. That's what I feel I bring before God. They are truly broken people. And they would come before God and say, well, they have nothing in the positive column to offer the Lord. Surprisingly, that list is as follows. The shepherds, the wise men, Mary and Joseph, some also in Jesus' family tree, David, one person named Rahab. We'll put her in the family tree too. Let's look at those people who are spiritually bankrupt. Jesus would be for them. He came for all the people. For Mary and Joseph, they were pushed beyond their own strength and morality. They might have had some things going for them, but they knew they could not do what God had asked them to do. They needed the Lord's intervention. And so Christ was given to them as a gift. And he'll be that way for us if we turn to him and realize the limitations of our own strength and morality. The shepherds, they were unskilled labor, looked down upon in society very much. I don't think they were allowed to be in the main part of the worship in the temple. Shepherds, not allowed. Okay, but God would come to them and say, a Savior has been born to you. If you feel like a shepherd sometimes. The wise men, pagan stargazers. Okay, maybe I'll find out the meaning of life by checking out planetary movements or star movements. God would come to them and say, let me show you the real wisdom, who is the Savior. Some of the people who were in Jesus' family tree who knew they were spiritually bankrupt. David, a righteous king who fell down really badly. If Jesus would come for him, he would come for you. If at one time you kind of walk with the Lord, but something in your soul got tripped up and you fell down very badly, you know, God would come and help you at that point. And then Rahab, morality problems, relationship problems. I put down first inventor of the pornography industry for Israel. Put her in Jesus' family tree. Put her next to Jesus. Because a Savior would be born. for all the people. He is Christ the Lord. And the Lord sees both groups, and He says, I'm coming for you. And He would come for us tonight. One of the great qualities of Jesus is, as I think Bob prayed, He comes for us in our sin, in our shame, in our sadness. And He says, I'll meet you there. He would meet, if hearts were open, meet Herod. Meet the wise men, meet the shepherds, and Mary and Joseph. And instead of just them being stuck in despair, He'd offer them forgiveness, freedom, and forever with Him. C.S. Lewis, in his book called Miracles, uses an analogy for Christmas. And he writes that Christmas is like a pearl diver who, in order to get to the pearl rapidly, would put off their normal equipment, jump in the water, past the blue warm water, down to the deep cold water where there's very little light at all, and go down to the bottom of the ocean where there's nothing but death and decay and all kind of garbage, and seek out what is valuable to Him and get that pearl and swim to the surface and have a great amount of joy. And that's a picture of Jesus coming into the world, you know, in the junk of our lives and the mess we have made, and saying, you are valuable to me, and I am on a mission to rescue you from sin and death and our hell-bound ways. And so the Lord would do that for us in the person of His Son. If I could appeal to you as a person to a person or pastor to people, I would say, look to Christ for the joy and meaning and direction in your life. That's why He came, to give you life and life eternal. And you'll find it nowhere else. God didn't leave heaven to come to a manger and then give His life on the cross in our behalf and rise from the dead for us to somehow miss Him because I was preoccupied with me or with stuff or even with my quest for power. All those things seem so empty, and our soul is left empty without the Lord. One more good calling the Lord gives us, good news for all the people. God calls us, because Jesus did this, to stand with others in their mess. That's what He calls us to do as His followers. Jesus came for the dirty sinner, inside and outside the church. And a good test to see how the Lord has impacted your life. When you see somebody in sin, do you move toward them or do you push them away and turn away from them? Jesus was born into the world to move toward the sinner who had no hope. And His followers, by watching Him and following Him, will do the same. And so when you see the broken, when you see the Caesar type or the Herod type or the Shepherd type or the Rahab type, God is moving toward them. And He would like to invite them to come to Himself. And He calls you to move toward them also and give good news of great joy, who is the Lord. Just a question to hit your soul, if you would receive it. Do you want to trust and follow Christ, who is like that, who meets the sinner in their despair? That's a decision that you have to make. And He will help you make that decision. And there are people in a great holy night all over our country and around the world worshiping Christ, saying, Lord, we turn to You. Help us trust and follow You. I'd like to invite you to do that if you never had or never have. Make it a turning point in your life, a holy night between you and Christ. You'll become like a wise man. I was changed, like a shepherd, like one of the ones who received Him. Someone said, when you're too messed up to come to Him, He will come to you. So would you receive Him tonight as His Spirit works as we pray? And we'll continue in the service. But I want to have a time of prayer with you, if you would. Could you bow your heads and pray with me? Lord, thank You for the truth, good news of great joy for all the people. A Savior is born. Christ the Lord. And Lord, that truth, that news is for our own souls here. And I pray, Father, for all of us to know the great love of Jesus. And I ask, Lord, if there's anybody here who said, well, my life's a mess, I wouldn't even try to follow Christ, that you would let that one know that Christ is near to them. He's knocking on the door of each heart, and he would say, open the door and I'll come in. So I pray, Lord, anybody here who's never trusted or followed Jesus would simply pray, Lord, be my Savior, be my Lord. Help me turn from sin and turn to you and follow you all the days of my life. And Lord, let your Holy Spirit warm that dear heart toward yourself and make him hungry for you. Father, this past year we've seen people who were not hungry for you become hungry for you. And what a change it was. I pray that this would occur by your good Holy Spirit working this evening. And bless each one with a very Christ-centered Christmas. And we give you the praise you deserve for being our Lord, Savior, and friend. In your name we pray. Amen.